Picture this, 10,000 head of Rambouillet Merino sheep spending their days grazing in the crisp air of the Montana mountains, producing the finest wool in America. These rugged landscapes are our home and have been for four generations. Welcome to Duckworth Premium Merino Wool. Every garment is born from American soil and crafted with passion, pride, and precision. From the sheep grazing on our Montana ranch to the skilled craftsmen and women whose hands knit, sew, and spin every fiber that make up our products, our process is a collaboration of American ingenuity and dedication. With Duckworth Merino Wool, you're not just buying a garment, you're investing in a legacy. Our commitment to growing, spinning, knitting, and sewing our own garments right here in America ensures unparalleled quality with stewardship of the land at our core. And the best part? You can wear our products with pride, knowing that you're supporting local communities and American workers every step of the way. So if you're ready to experience the true essence of American craftsmanship, visit Duckworth.com today. Apparel for the outdoor enthusiast and everyday lifestyle alike. We believe there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. Check out Duckworth today. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. Hope you guys are having a great day. Today, we are going to be doing a critique of the book, The Unseen Realm, by Michael Heiser. And I'm also going to give words of caution about the entertainment fear industry, or the pursuit of fear, or the enjoyment of fear industry that is even popular with a lot of people who have embraced the Unseen Realm worldview. And even right into our church, thinking about Haunted Cosmos and Cultish, not saying that those shows are necessarily a bad thing at all. In fact, those are friends of mine that are producing a lot of that content, but I do want to give words of caution, and I don't want you to go down the road of thinking that the devil and the supernatural worldview that the Christians are invited into, that somehow spiritual forces are more powerful or more active or more present than the present, active, powerful work of the Holy Spirit. And I think it could be something that people could fall into, a ditch people could fall into, and I want to give a few words of caution and critique, and then I will look at the danger of pursuing fear as entertainment. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 19 and the seven sons of Sceva, and we're going to look at the post-world of the devil already being cast out, the devil already being bound, the devil already being the ruler of this world now being cast out. And even after that, we're going to look at the power that the devil has in regards to the story of the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19. And then I think we really, hopefully, we'll have content for, and really a reason to have some sort of caution when it comes to some things I see being popularized right now. So that's what we're going today. First, I want to remind you of Duckworth. You guys have heard, if you're listening to the audio side, you've heard the ad already go up. We would love for you to check out the giveaway. Go to Instagram and you can sign up for that today. I'm wearing the powder hoodie. If you're watching right now on YouTube, you see it. I love this hoodie. It is incredibly warm. It's merino wool. And everything that Duckworth is doing, I think, is just really great. You're going to love this hoodie. You want to sign up for it. It's going to be a hoodie that lasts, and I love it. The only thing is, make sure and get a size down. If you buy some stuff from Duckworth, if you get the powder hoodie, then get one size down. The one thing I wish I would have done is got a little bit smaller size. But overall, love it. It's going to be great for you if you end up being the one who wins. And just check out what they're doing. It's really cool stuff. Okay, I want to remind you of the Sons and Slaves podcast and also of the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to dive in and start with the Unseen Realm. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. I ask for blessing upon this. I pray as I progress through this material, it would be helpful, clear, concise, and would really give people some challenging things to work through as we consider the supernatural world that we do live in and the life as a Christian that we get to walk and just the adventure that it is to follow Jesus. And so Jesus, help us with this. Holy Spirit, bring clarity here. I trust that you're going to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to start with The Unseen Realm. I read this book last year. This has been a book that's been highly popularized over the last few years. Dr. Michael Heiser has done some good work and really helpful things in this book, but I think some things also that have been quite unhelpful. His emphasis on the free will of the creature, I think, is unbalanced and unbiblical. I think he misunderstands the doctrine of the sinfulness of mankind and the amount or the state of bondage that mankind is naturally in, and that is on display in this book time and time again. You read through this book, and it just kind of makes you feel weird when it comes to the nature of the will and his confusion about what the Bible teaches about the nature of the will and its bondage apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. But if we just back up from that whole conversation to the very beginning of the book, I want to highlight something, and I want to thank Josh Stowers, one of our elder candidates at church, a man that has just been really helpful in helping me think through this, and also in other aspects of what I'm going to be talking about, even just the pursuit of fear, the entertainment industry of fear, just little comments that Josh made that made me start thinking about this in a way that helped me to piece together some ideas that were a little bit disconnected. So Josh, thank you. I'll have to make sure and tell you this live too, so I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, very beginning of this book, this is in chapter one, at the very start, he calls it first things. He gets into this watershed moment for him where Dr. Heiser never forgot his reading of the book of Psalm 82. The first verse, it says, hit him like a bolt of lightning. God, Elohim, stands in the divine assembly. He administers judgment in the midst of the gods, and that is Elohim. Okay? He bases the entire book, the building blocks of this book, start with this foundational cornerstone, the worldview that this book invites you into, which isn't entirely wrong. So the biblical discipline or the theological discipline of cosmology, this is something that we definitely need to have handles on and dive into, and I think is underdeveloped, but I don't think this is the primary book that helps us get the most biblical view of a theological understanding of cosmology and created angelic and demonic beings, or lesser than Elohims, okay? Here's what he says. He said, I immediately started to work trying to find answers to this theological problem of these other gods, these lesser gods being called Elohim. And he started to, tread wherever other evangelicals feared to tread. So he started to go down this rabbit hole. It's kind of this tether that begins to unravel for him, and he keeps pursuing it. And here's what he says at the beginning of chapter 2. Looking back, I can explain all my study, education, and learning before and after my Psalm 82 moment by using this metaphor, filter, and mosaic. All this book is a building out of Psalm 82, breaking what he says is his theological filter. And he interprets this passage in a way that most pastors, theologians, scholars, and people like John Calvin, in a way that they don't interpret Psalm 82. And when Josh preached through Psalm 82 this summer, it was so helpful for us, or this winter, it was so helpful for me to think, like, oh my goodness, wait a minute. Dr. Heiser takes this book from this understanding of Psalm 82 and then runs with it and goes to Job and talks about the divine counsel in Job. And I don't think those are the exact same categories. And certainly there are some helpful things in this book talking about the sons of God, talking about the Nephilim and understanding the supernatural worldview that's around us and that we have always lived in that is really helpful. But on this particular point in Psalm 82, I think he misses the boat. I think Dr. Heiser's interpretation is wrong. I think Psalm 82, as John Calvin states it, as most commentators state it, is not talking about this divine council of lesser Elohims, or what are these lesser Elohims? It is talking about these lesser Elohims, but I think what we're talking about is judicious and judicial rulers in this world. It is politicians, rulers, governors, authorities in this world, kings, queens, those that have judicial power in this world as gods to rule this earth. I don't think this is talking in Psalm 82 about supernatural beings. In fact, we read this about John Calvin. He immediately goes into talking about verse 1, if you look at Calvin's commentaries, God sitteth in the assembly of God. It is unquestionably a very unbecoming thing for those whom God has been pleased to invest with government of mankind for the common good. And he immediately starts talking about political power, the kingdoms of this earth. Then at the very end, he says this, the very end of his commentary on verse 1, to apply it to angels is a fancy too strained to admit of serious consideration. What Calvin says about Heiser's interpretation of Psalm 82 is that it is a fancy too strained to admit serious consideration because of the rest of the context of Psalm 82. And you can read Psalm 82, and it talks about the justice being in a land and the responsibilities of political leaders on this earth. So the very foundation of this book, I think, is is wrong. I think Heiser's wrong on that. It doesn't mean I think that the whole book is wrong, but I think some of the things in this book are wrong and I think warrant a word of caution. And so that's what I'm doing with you today, is saying, hey, listen, with the Unseen Realm, I want to give you a word of caution. And then for those that have been highly influenced by the Unseen Realm. So you think about all the popular podcasts right now, some of the popular podcasts, and I love Brian, I love Ben. I've never actually met Ben, but Brian has been a friend of mine. And I'm not saying that they are necessarily doing this, but what can easily happen with content, both audio, video, with YouTube consumption, is that even with books that are being read, and this, well, the epicenter of this is what people did with Piper. Even though he wasn't an advocate of poverty theology, people took his theology, ran with it, and then ended up in this poverty theology kind of mentality. And what can happen is, if there's not guardrails up, you can go to some very unhealthy places and be led to some very unhealthy places, maybe not explicitly by the teachers that are explaining things to you, but by taking what is being taught and running with it in an unhealthy direction. So what I'm trying to do here today is give you guardrails. I'm trying to give you just some subtle words of caution to say, I want you to think through this, because I think there's some unhealthy things that can happen and that maybe already are happening within the world of people who are listening to Blurry Creatures, the Haunted Cosmos, and listening to even Cultish. And so the word of caution. One of the things that I've recognized and want you to recognize is that many of the people that, not necessarily the Blurry Creatures people, but with Haunted Cosmos or with Jeff Durbin and those, is what ends up happening is you can run into this worldview of the supernatural and dive in, and all of a sudden, what ends up bubbling to the surface and what ends up being embraced in this worldview is that Satan and demons are at work everywhere, all around you. There are dark forces, angelic beings, demonic beings, and this supernatural worldview begins to encompass everything we think. It is this worldview, and it is almost like, for Dr. Heiser, a before and after moment, where we listen to a few episodes and we think, oh my goodness, everything I thought I knew, I don't know anymore. What is this whole idea of the supernatural realm or the unseen realm that I didn't have categories for before, and now I have these categories for? And the subtle caution I want to give you is that I think it's entirely possible to elevate the activity, the presence, and the power of the devil and dark forces to a very unhealthy place, and simultaneously minimizing the presence, the power, and the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life and in the life of the church. What I mean is, for very, very people who believe that Satan is bound, postmillennialists, which is the Blurry Creatures, and or not the Blurry Creatures, which would be Brian and Ben, and would be Jeremiah and Jeff, they believe that Satan is already bound. And yet, they also believe in the present and very active work of Satan and demons. All four of those, I believe, are cessationists and would say that all the gifts of the Spirit are active to some degree, but the sign gifts are not for today, even though there is still healing, even though there is still the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. But what can subtly happen, again, what I'm saying here is not necessarily what they are teaching with this worldview, but what can subtly happen is that we don't believe in the presence and the power and the activity of the Holy Spirit as much as we believe in the presence, the power, and the activity of the devil or his demons or his minions. And I think that warrants a word of caution. Not that we don't run full speed into a entertainment or a pursuit of fear for entertainment industry. And this is what I think can be scary. When we enjoy being scared, or when we get to the point where we believe that thinking about Satan and demons is this thing of entertainment, something we enjoy to do, I think we run the risk of dancing with the devil in a way that is unhealthy. The Holy Spirit of God in you, if you're more intrigued by Satan and demons than you are by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit because you're a cessationist, for instance, then I think there's something wrong with that. I think there's something wrong with being more intrigued by the forces of darkness, or even our authority over the forces of darkness, than there is the enjoyment, the activity, and the presence of this earnest payment, this Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit being inside of you, indwelling you. And this special privilege that we have and this abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant that is different than the experience of the people of God of old. Not that salvation is different from the experience of God of old, but certainly our experience of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and us being the temple of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant era is something that's unique that we get to experience. And I guess I could say fear is that people are running towards fear and the activity of the devil in a way that's unhealthy. And I don't want that to happen. So I want us to consider Acts chapter 19. And let me just turn there. And the seven sons of Sceva. and just let this hover in your life. And as you're listening to the Haunted Cosmos, as you're listening to Blurry Creatures, as you're listening to Cultish, and as you read The Unseen Realm, think about this. Are you more intrigued with the different, the unique, the supernatural worldview than you are the reality that you are a supernatural person? And we should have the supernatural worldview already because we have these things called the gifts of the Spirit or the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. We've experienced supernatural death to life. So we already should be having this supernatural worldview. What I'm saying is the unseen realm shouldn't be this earth-shaking thing for us. These podcasts shouldn't be this earth-shaking thing for us. And if people are doing things that are different than how most of church history has understood certain texts, then it should at least cause us to scratch our head. Think about this. God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even his handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carrying away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Wow, just incredible. We even have this in our worldview. Again, this is after Jesus' death and resurrection. This is after Satan, the ruler of this world, is now being cast out, and yet this is still happening. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook invoking the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul proclaims." Seven sons of Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them. Now recognize this. I heard a preacher one time say, authority recognizes authority, and lack of authority, when there's authority there, recognizes lack of authority. When authority comes and bumps into religious somebodies who think they're something, wanting to go out and invoke the name of Jesus to do something and be invited into the supernatural world and walk with this kind of authority, what do the seven sons of Sceva experience? And if you pursue it without the right and proper means or measures, if you pursue this sort of thing, okay, I'm going to get into this exorcist business. I'm going to get into this pursuing fear or enduring fear business. I just want to give you this word, okay, from the scriptures. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? Who are you?" And the man whom was with the evil spirit leapt on them, mastered all of them, overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. These demons actually beat the seven sons of Sceva. And as the same preacher said, these people that were somebodies in religious circles, we don't know their names, and yet here they are getting beat to a pulp by a demon. They're trying to, in an improper manner, step into this area of authority, and they don't do it in the right way, and they were mastered by these demons. All of them, and they were overpowered, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They were naked and wounded. They got so beat up by these demons that they got beat naked, and they were bleeding and wounded and walking out of this house. And so it became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. And many of those who are now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of them all. And they counted the value of them and found it and came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Praise God. We want to have a proper understanding of our authority over Satan and demons. We want to have a proper understanding of the Spirit of God indwelling believers and then what the demons can and can't do out in the world. And also, we want to understand the darts of the devil. And if you don't walk with wisdom with some of these, with the theological category of cosmology, the activity of Satan, demons, angels, the power of the Holy Spirit, if we don't walk with wisdom on this, I'm concerned that the fiery darts that the devil may shoot, that your flesh may jump up and hold on to those in an unnecessary way. I don't think fear, I don't believe biblically, fear is something to be entertained with. And if we try to market fear or invite people into fear who are not yet wise enough to handle certain things, my fear is that we will see the activity of Satan and demons in a way that's scary, that's not right. And so don't get to the point theologically where you are more engaged mentally and you're more engaged spiritually, emotionally, and all of this in the forces of darkness and what can and can't be done in the forces of darkness or into cosmology that you are in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God within you and in the life of the church. And so be more eager to see manifestations of the Spirit for healing, for the supernatural work of the Spirit that's unexplained, for the Holy Spirit of God to regenerate and change people's lives and to bring them to a point where where God is working in them and powerfully, where the Holy Spirit of God is doing things that are just amazing, be more eager to see that and expect that than we are eager to see and expect the forces of darkness do certain things in this world. And so that's the subtle word of caution about the unseen realm or any of these kind of podcasts that are out there right now. Just walk with wisdom and don't be the seven sons of Sceva. Be the one that the devil looks at and says, I know Paul and I know Jesus and I know this guy and I'm not going to mess with him. You be that kind of man that the devil runs from, not that the devil runs to. Okay, guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope this has been helpful, and please continue to come back. Spread the word. Spread this to somebody that may enjoy it, and thanks so much. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crypt podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrypt.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes, and if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crypt, please message me, and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.